we, as his children, understand wholeheartedly. And that's where the lost world, the unsaved world, is at a loss to understand. They're not joking when they say common sense isn't so common anymore. That's kind of obvious out there if we look through today's world. But Timothy understood this all too well during this time here on earth. Paul made sure that he did. Please understand that this isn't just a lesson for pastors, teachers, missionaries, etc. It's for each and every one of God's children. We are all called to be leaders in one form or another throughout our lives here on this earth for Christ. The Great Commission calls us all to be leaders and as Christians to step up and spread the truth of the Word of God to all peoples, both far and wide. 2 Timothy, we're going to walk through it here. We're going to start in chapter 2, verse 22, but we're going to go read the rest of 2, all of 3, and we're going to go into 5 verses of 4, chapter 4. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. I mean, we could stop right there, and I mean, you could pretty much paint the picture of what today's world is. It doesn't matter. We're not only talking about churches. We're talking about schools, elementary schools, high schools, colleges, the political sector. I mean, it doesn't matter what. I mean, that pretty much explains what we're dealing with as Christians in today's world. Then verse 8 here, it says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, as at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. Now Paul here, I mean, he was giving Timothy pretty much step by step, orders to follow throughout the time, because they were dealing with false teachers and others at the time being. But we're looking at courage, the process of taking a stance. That Paul knew how important it was to encourage Timothy, for the young leader would have to take a stand in many tough situations. So he charged him to take courage and to do what was right in difficult times. Courage is the first essential quality for effective leadership. Leaders initiate and take a stand even when no one else travels with them down that road. Paul prepares Timothy for this act with his words. And there's 5 points here I'm going to go down, we're going to look at. Number one, it says there is something to prevent. If you look at chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, leaders must flee temptations such as pleasure and power that ruin their personal lives. If they allow the world to creep in and leaders must first flee temptations such as pleasure and power that ruin their personal lives. If you look at any race run out there, you can use the political scene, whatever you want to call it. People are in it for one. I mean, they're in it for the greed, the power that it gives them, that they kind of that they'll come up with whatever position they apply for, whatever position they run for. It's the same in schools or anything else. I mean, you have we had high school presidents, vice presidents, even in high school. I don't know if they still have them now today or not, but. When anyone sees, it's just the human nature. We're born into sin. We're born with a sin nature. We're born with a choice. Sad to say, like I said, we are born into sin nature, and we're going to make the wrong choice, sad to say, lots of times. I mean, if we're hard-headed. But that greed and that power is something that all strive for. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're talking about high school, if you're talking about history, all the way from Mussolini to Hitler to anything, anyone from Japan, China, South Korea, North Korea, it's all about for power. They're all juggling for power. But number two, it says there are some things to pursue. Chapter 2, verse 22, it says leaders must chase after qualities that will build their character and integrity. If you look at 22, it says flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, Timothy's three priorities that Paul had given him, he said Paul's last written communication reveals a sense of urgency to Timothy. He wastes no words. Every one of them counts. More than any other passage, this text tells us what is most important to Paul, the leader. He challenges Timothy with three priorities. Number one is to preach the word. Timothy must keep the message alive, teaching urgently, persistently, and with conviction. Number two, he says, do the work. Timothy was to do the work of an evangelist, fulfilling his call, reaching his potential. And number three, to run the race. Timothy was to emulate Paul, who finished his course and won the prize already. If you look at Paul's life, I mean, it was done nonstop. I mean, whether it be from stonings, beatings, imprisonment. A lot of us as humans know what Paul was going through. I mean, he had many trials and tribulations. We've had many trials and tribulations in our lives, whether it be anything from doctor's call as far as cancer goes, to prison, to drugs and alcohol. I mean, the addictions that the world brings about. And it's a sad thing, because now if you look at the news or watch the news, listen to the news or watch the news, it has a tendency to throw you into a sense of depression. And that's kind of hard to come out of a lot of times without help. And we have a tendency to seek the wrong type of help to get out of to get us out of the depressive, that hole that we've sort of walked into. And but Christ is always there, like I said, no matter what. The promises that he's given us, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll never give us more than we can bear. Those are all promises we can guarantee, we can fall back on, and we can rely on no matter what to get us out of any circumstance, whether it be depression, addiction, anything that comes down the line. But Timothy understood that. Paul made sure he had understood that, to preach the word, the truth, and not someone's version of the truth, I guess you have to say nowadays. Everybody's got this false, they talk about everything out there right now. Anything that anybody talks about has a tendency to ring true, they said, without fact-checking or anything else, without checking with history, without checking with theory or thesis from math or science or anything else. And anything that anybody says is now the truth. I mean, if I want to say the world's flat or the moon's made out of green cheese, I mean, today's world, day and age, and today's society and culture, it would be considered, there would be arguments out there to consider the truth of those statements. But Timothy knew the truth of the word. That's why he preached the word just the same as Paul did. He said, do the work. We have to put in the work. We can't just sit back and let it happen. Pastor liked to talk about the rapture. We can't hide behind the rapture. I mean, we're saved, but we just can't let sit back and let it happen. We have to be busy at work here with the Great Commission, with the purpose of the Great Commission in today's time. There's a lot of issues. Dad and I, we were talking about this the other day, about what it would take. I mean, what it's going to take. I mean, I don't know, to come back around, to bring everything back to where it should be, to see revivals like we've seen in the past, revival meetings. I just don't know right now. I mean, it's gone so far, and it just doesn't seem like it's going to come back. There's any way to come back from it. But remember that God, his purpose, his plan is always being fulfilled day in, day out. No matter if it's through us, if it's through our neighbors, if it's through friends, family, each and every one of us have a purpose in life and to fulfill for God's prayer, for God's service. And he's fulfilling his will each and every day, no matter what, even in this time with chaos, massive amounts of chaos around the world and things that are going on the way they are right now. But as again, the third point is run the race. I said Timothy was to emulate Paul, who finished his course and won the prize. Obviously, when we finish the course, we win our prize. That's when we pass over. That's when our time has come on this earth, and it's time to move on. That's when we win. That's when we cross our finish line. That's when Paul crossed his finish line. He finished the race. He won the race. And he was blessed all the more for it throughout his life. But getting back to the 5 points of process of taking a stand, we're on number 3 here. It says there are some things to portray. If you look at chapter 2, verse 24 to 26, and it says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. There are some things we need to portray in our lives. Leaders must model right attitudes so that others will want to submit to God and to obey God. The first one that stands out for me as far as patience goes, apt to teach and patience. Patience is a big issue. One of my big issues that I have that I'm dealing with, and it's getting longer ever since I've taken that stroll down the path that I did, and decided, and once I came out of it, God's grace allowed me to come out of it whole, alive, with a few scars. Patience is still one of my big issues that I work on. If I'm dare to say that, there's a lot of others may have the same issue with patience. Maybe not as severe as I do, but still, nonetheless. But we're to strive to model a gentle and unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Leaders must model the right attitude so that others will want to submit to God. It's come down to the whole fact, the simple statement, actions speak louder than words. It's what I told the guys that we were teaching up there in Sheffield. You can talk all you want. People can talk a good game. But the actions of your life, when people, the actions that people see, are going to tell them exactly where you're at in your track and your following, and you is with Christ. If you're following hand in hand, if you're following behind, if you're trying to run ahead of his plans. But actions do speak louder than words when it comes down to it. You lead by example. And anybody that's been in the military, anybody's military service around here, they understand the same thing. You lead by example. You can talk a good game, you can talk all you want to, but until you lead by example, you're not going to get too many people to follow you. And that's where the issue, especially even with the guys I deal with the guys we've dealt with up there, addicts and others, ex-military and everything else, it's hard for them to trust. That's a big issue with them. And I can talk all I want to, but until they see it in my life, and leading by example, like I said, I told them there's many things that I have issues with that I'm still overcoming in my own life. And we work through it. We walk through each other's lives, each other's heads for a while, and found out where each and every one was settled at. And I think we came out, each one of us had come out on top, has come out better for it in the long run, even though the guys have graduated, they're moving on with the next step in life. And it's been a help, not just to them, but also to myself as a self-examination of my own life. And like I said, whether it be patience, whether it be whatever I'm having issues with, we helped each other, and we came out the end of the road better for it, I think. Number four, it says there are some things to perceive. If you look at chapter 3, verses 1-9, we're not going to read them, but it says leaders must read the times and take responsibility to hold firm to what is right. And what is right is called the law of sacrifice. Timothy understood what Paul was talking about. It says Timothy must give up to go up. Paul called Timothy to surrender many of the comforts he could have enjoyed as a pastor. Paul teaches us how to handle each and every one of those sacrifices by addressing the example of a leader through his life. He must give up to go up. There's a law of sacrifice. And the responsibility to hold firm to what is right. Each and every one of us as Christians, as Christ followers, know what's right and what's wrong. The world's kind of muddied the waters out there with today's day and age, with everything that's coming along, coming down the pipeline with anything from gender equality. I mean, the list can go on. I'm not going to go on. You know what's going on in today's world, in today's schools, education, elementary, high schools and colleges, and out there. It's just not the truth. I mean, the sad part of it is they're not preaching the truth. They're not teaching the truth. There's small voices out there that are teaching, still teaching and preaching the truth, but they're not being heard. It's not. We don't have. There's not no Billy Grahams out there like we had before, or Oliver B. Green or anybody else. It's a definite difficult situation, a difficult place, position where we're at as Christians in today's world, in today's churches, because even the churches are telling, they are saying, are contradicting the Word of God, the truth, the Word of God. And I'm not going into denominations or anything else. I mean, you know, everybody knows what's going on in today's world. But we need to stand firm and stand on the truth of the Word of God, what He preaches in here that we read. And Paul knew that. And that's why he encouraged Timothy to do the same, to stand on the truth, unwavering on the truth. There are some things to perceive, and number five, is there something to pronounce. If you look at chapter 3, in verses 10 through 17, it talks about there's something to pronounce. It says, leaders must hold forth God's word and use it as a standard for training. It talks about the word of God as an equipping tool. Scripture is thought of an equipping tool, providing doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, so that everyone may be equipped for every good work. Using Scripture, the leader is to lay the foundation, provide direction, confront others when they err, and correct their behavior and help them to progress again. It's not to judge. I mean, I have an issue. That's another one of my. We're quick to judge. Maybe sometimes it's a snap judgment. Because of where the past, I have a tendency to see the worst in all in situations and people, and they call it a snap judgment. It's a quick, it's a judgment, and I'm working to get through that myself each and every day as we progress each and every day. But we have a tendency to use that as judgment sometimes. And that's not what it's for. I mean, we're supposed to use the truth, we're supposed to use the Word of God as an equipping tool. It says correction for reproof, correction, and instruction so that everyone may be equipped for every good work. Using Scripture, we're supposed to lay foundations, provide direction, confront others when they err, and correct their behavior and help them progress again. That's where we step up alongside the brothers and sisters in Christ and help them move forward when they fall down. I mean, it may be addiction, it may be depression, it may be many things, but they're going to fall. I mean, as Christians, we fall, and that's where we're supposed to pull alongside of our brothers and sisters, help them back up onto their feet, get them moving forward in the direction that they should be to begin with. But that's as far as what Paul wanted Timothy to understand as far as the process of taking a stand. But God has called each and every one of us into His service. He has a specific purpose for each of us to fulfill. And when we accepted His Son as a personal Lord and Savior, we signed our names on the dotted lines. It's kind of like signing our names on the dotted line for military service, if you will. I mean, you now have an objective to complete. You have a job, if you will, and a purpose to fulfill in life. Only His job and His purpose is way, way more important when it comes to the Great Commission. the unsaved, they need to hear, just like the song that I sang this morning, I Wish We'd All Been Ready. Don't find yourself. We don't want anybody to find themselves in that position saying, I wish we'd all been ready. Whether it's one person disappear, like I said, a man and wife asleep in bed, one disappears, and two men walking up a hill, one disappears and the other one's left. You don't want to find yourself in that kind of a position saying, I wish we'd all been ready. See, Paul and Timothy were dealing with a lot at said point in time throughout their lives in this time in history. False teachers to start off with, that laundry list, if you would. But not only false teachers or leaders in the churches, but also in our schools, and dare I say, even mention the political world. And I do mean the world on that one. It's not just happening in our own country. It's happening around the world. Like we said before, when it comes to greed, there is no greed and power, there's no bounds, no ends. And that's the reason people have the tendency to step on people, to step over people, to get where they want to be, to get where they think they have to be in life, whether that power or that greed. It crosswires, it's almost like a drug, it rewires the neurons and everything in the brain. And it leaves us in almost as zombies. It's just nothing, but that's all they know. They know power, they know greed, and that's all they want. That's all they think that's what's going to get them ahead. They think that's what's going to get them ahead in life, where they need to be in life. I don't know, but the madness and the chaos has spread the world over. It's not just, like I said, it's not just in our own country itself. It's sad, but it's the truth. We need leaders around the world to stand up for the truth, but to also need to know the real truth. They need to know what the real truth is, where the real truth comes from. And they need to be shown the real truth and where it comes from as well. I'm going to read it as far as the takeaway goes. It's a little section that says, in life and in leadership, you will find that people treat you badly. I think we've all seen that a time or two in our lives, I dare say. That is an unavoidable fact. There's nothing you can do about that. You have three options when you are treated in this manner. You take the low road, where you treat people worse than they treat you. And I can say that I've fallen prey to that low road quite a few times in life. That's called revenge. I mean, when it comes down to it, somebody does something to me, somebody's going to stick a knife in my back, well, they better not go to sleep. Let's put it that way. But that's what the low road is. I mean, that's what we need to stay away from. Number two, it's the middle road. That's where you treat people the same as they treat you. And that pretty much runs, I'm saying it's shaking hands and hands with the low road. It's pretty much the same as getting revenge. I mean, you stab me in the back, I'm going to stab you in the back. That's the way it's going to. Those are the two that we need to avoid, the low and the middle road. But the high road is where you treat people better than they treat you. Especially in today's day and age, like you said, there's many times you're going to do something for someone and it's going to go slap you in the mouth. But we need to work through it and take the high road. As a leader, you must commit to taking the high road when others intentionally or unintentionally do you wrong. We've all messed up. We've all have annoying quirks, and there are times when we're not a pleasure to be around. Every time I turned, as far as this lesson goes, it was more of a self-examination than anything else. And there are some times we aren't a pleasure to be around. I mean, whether it be just a bad day, or whether the medication we take, I take medication, I take procedures because I have Lyme disease. And it has tendency to give you mood swings. And the sad part of it is I was using it as a scapegoat and an excuse. When people, I didn't feel like being around in a group of people or together with people. It's just in a room. It's just I'm a little on the nervous side, but when it comes to room fulls of people. But there are definitely times, I think each one of us, there's times when we're not pleasant to be around, I think, whether it be a Monday morning when we haven't had coffee yet, or we realize that the week's about to start, or hunters and fishers, whether you missed that buck or whether I broke the line on my on the steelhead and he take off down the river. I mean, there's times that we're not pleasant to be around, whatever the excuse may be. And it's a fact. But it says, when you recognize your humanness and know you need and have all received grace, you are more open to taking the high road and extending that grace to others. And a lot of folks that are here, they know my story. They know there's many times I shouldn't be here. I know for a fact I should have been dead, and I can say that for a fact. As well as the guys that we taught, Brady, Justin, Jason, all them guys, we can all tell you there's times, there's days that we know for a fact we should have been dead. Many times, and it's only God's grace that got us through the day. Wherever we may have been, whether it have been the lowest or low, wherever we were in life. But it's God's grace that got us through alive. And like I said, we may have our scars, internally, external scars, but each one of us have a scar. Have scars. It's a building. It's a foundation to move forward, that we use as a platform to move forward, just like Paul. I mean, he had thorn in the flesh. Nobody knows. I mean, everybody takes a stab at guessing at what that thorn in the flesh could have been. Nobody really knows. It's not really said exactly what that was, but it's just like God said. He told him, "And my grace is sufficient for you." I mean, it's a form of platform. It was for him to show God's grace and his mercy to each and every one, each and every person he came in contact with, unsaved, saved, down through the years, down through the travels, wherever he may have traveled for. But it's the high road, and it gives you that sense of extending that grace that we've received to others. It's like passing and paying it forward, or like playing and paying it forward, just like we pastor said. My past has given me a platform to pay it forward to the guys to the guys in Sheffield, and it's pretty much moved. We've moved forward. I think we've took a step by step, and I think that we've all come out better for it in the end. It says no one takes the high road by accident. You must constantly choose that path. Again, we're back to choice. The free will, what we were born with in the garden. I always call it catch-22 because it's free will. I mean, we are given the free will to choose, but we are born into sin. So what do you think was going to happen whenever we'd have a chance to make a choice, a choice or many choices, day in, day out? Some of us don't make the right decision. I mean, there's a lot of us that haven't made the right decision. I haven't made the right decision time and time again because I'm kind of a stubborn individual, hard-headed individual at times. But it's still, like I said, it all still comes down to choice that we were given, the free will that we were given from the garden. The high road is not the easiest road. It goes uphill and takes more effort to travel, but is the only road that leads to the highest levels of living and leading to Christ. Now, there's a book, it's called The Paradoxical Commandments, written by Kent Keith, and there was a few of them I had I have to go down through these and read these, because I found quite a few of them instructional when it comes down to it. But it says, people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs but follow only top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you do help them. Help people anyway. And the final says, give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. Leaders don't take the high road because it's the only available option, but because it's the best option. High roaders aren't victims. They're called victors. The author of Proverbs states, a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense, Proverbs 19, verse 11. When you respond to ill treatment with grace and forgiveness, you display an admirable character that elevates you in the eyes of others and allows you to experience the high road principle. You go to a higher level where you can treat others better than they treat you. And that's where it comes down, like I said, actions speak louder than words. We lead by example. People are going to want to know what we have when they slap us in the face. I mean, life's going to kick us in the teeth. And know how we handle that and how we move forward and progress forward through that. If we decide we want to try to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and do it ourselves, or if we want to call on God to rely on one of his promises and acquire one of the promises that to get us through that situation. It all depends on how people perceive us. People are watching. There's people watchers out there all over the place. They like to sit there and watch people's behavior, people's character, what they do, how they do, where they go. I mean, what they eat, things like that. In today's society, with Facebook and everything else, I mean, it's insane. People take pictures of what they eat and send it out. Anyhow. But the way we treat others in the face of adversity, whenever they kick us in the teeth, when they try to get us down, when the world tries to get us down, and how we handle that and how we move to motivate through that, take the high road and not the middle road, not the low road. There's a lot more. It comes down to narrow path and wider path. The narrow, that high road isn't exactly a wide path. It's the narrow path. The middle road and the lower path tend to be the more wider roads that a lot of us take, and I've taken before, to my shame, but I did. But we need to take a stand and stand firm on the truth of the Word of God in today's society and somehow try to bring this back. I don't know, like I said, I'm not sure how it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, who it's going to happen through. But there's always a chance, there's always the time for revival that we need, this world needs, because it desperately needs it. Not just Israel, not just Ukraine, not just, I mean, the world over. I mean, our kids in our schools, in our high schools, in our colleges that are coming out, taking these jobs, positions in these jobs, moving up through the world, they need to be told the truth, the real truth. And we need to stand on that truth. We need to be able to stand firm on that truth and not buckle under, not give way when it comes down to testing our faith and where we need to go as Christians with the rest of the world itself. But if you join me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, we thank you for this day. Again, once again, we thank you for the ability, the blessings to be able to get out of bed, put our feet on the floor, to motivate through the day. There are those out there that do not, that can't do that, that would give anything just to be able to get through the day on their own two feet. I pray. I thank you for that blessing. I thank you for the health and the strength you've given each and every one of us. Even though we have our lives, or we have trials, troubles, speed bumps, tribulations that we go through each and every day, help us to take the high road whenever life decides to kick us in the teeth. I mean, stay away from the wide roads of the middle and the lower ends, the lower roads. Help us to take the wide roads. Help us to show the world, the unsaved world, who we serve, the truth behind who we serve and why we serve you, and the blessings that we receive each and every day, both big and both small, that we've been given. The air in our lungs that we breathe, the blood that flows through our veins that's keeping us alive, and the simple blessings in life. Help us to be better witnesses each and every day, no matter where we're at. I pray your will be done, and everything that's said and everything that's done in our lives, each one of our lives, because we each have a purpose in life and to fulfill for your will, for the Great Commission. Help us to find that purpose. Help us to strive for that purpose each and every day of our lives, and thank you for the safety and the strength and the guidance and the wisdom direction you give us each and every day. Thank you for each and every one that came out tonight. I pray you for traveling mercies as we leave this evening. I pray for Pastor and his wife as well, for traveling mercies for them and the many others in our church family that are traveling and will be this upcoming holiday season, and thank you for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.